Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Amen. All right. We are in our Never Alone series. Our Never Alone series, we talk about the power of relationships. Our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, and how they intersect at the cross of Christ. Now, Dr. Jackson preached last week on the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's give him a round of applause and thank him. You know, he talked about how as Christians, when we make Jesus Lord, decide to become disciples, we repent, we're baptized, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So literally, God set it up so that we will never, ever be alone because the Spirit lives within us. So I got to thinking, it's really amazing how God goes out of his way to initiate this type of loving relationship with us. To initiate this special companionship with us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. So God is the one that initiates this companionship with us. His initiation really goes back to creation. It really does. And if you think about it in the terms of a romantic relationship, you can think, man, the Bible is like his love letter to us. You know, you think about that, man, it's there. We know that he loves us. The cross is like his proposal to us. Like, he's getting down on one knee and saying, I'm here. I want a relationship with you. The Holy Spirit is like his wedding ring, the seal, right, the mark that we are with him. Now, here's the thing about God. He doesn't have to prove himself to us. He's already done it. He's not that person that, you know, I got to get to know if he's trustworthy or not. You know, I got to know if he really going to be committed. I don't know if she really going to ride for me. You know, I got to figure that out. We don't got to figure it out. It is tried and true. It is tested. It is known. He makes it known. Now, we may have to get to know his character, but it doesn't change who he is. Sometimes we act like the God that we make up is the one that really is. Like, if I have a hard time trusting God, that's because he's not trustworthy. You know what I mean? No, he is who he is. It's a done deal. We got to get to know him. I love that about him. His faithfulness is promised to us. His desires are well known. They're public. We know he wants to be in a loving relationship with us for eternity, and he has the receipts. It's a done deal. So we don't initiate a loving relationship with God. He's done that. He's been done that, and he has made it known. Now, there's something about going public with our desires, ain't it? We just let everybody know that this is who we are with. You know, I mean, it's not real until it's posted on social media, right? I mean, until you change your relationship status. Some folks haven't been on Facebook for years. They come back to make sure people know they married. They married now. You know, change that relationship status. I mean, there's a whole social norms around couples on Instagram. You just can't like anything. You just can't put anything on your story. And if your significant other posts something on there, you better share that as well. Ain't that right? Isn't that how it goes? There's some real stuff out there. I mean, man, if you don't know and you're single, you better know. You better ask somebody. Folks get broken up about this. I mean, relationships are ended if you don't follow the right protocols on Instagram. Man, it's something about making it known that you're initiating a loving relationship with somebody. It's something about it. You know, I just had to make it known to one person. My wife, Christina. I didn't have to, for me to go public, I had to let her know. And that was tough enough. That was hard enough because, you know, we had been building a friendship. If you don't know, I met Christina in college. We were in class together, and she invited me out to church. And, yes, God knew what I needed. And I went, and I got to know God, and she had conviction, and she said, no, I'm not going out with you. You can come out with us as friends. And I'm like, what? I don't know them people like that. And I want to get to know you. And she's like, you need to get to know God. And she did. She, yes, priorities, yes, yes. So I got baptized March 29th. My 20th year's birthday is coming up later this month. So she made it known, like I said, I had to get right with God. So then, you know, right after March is April, and April is Easter. So right after I got baptized, about a week, 2 weeks later, it was Easter, and her parents had come to town. And, I had been praying about letting her know. Because every time I wanted to tell her, you know, she just didn't act that interested. Or she would tell me about somebody she went on a date with. Like, why are you telling me? That's when you know you're in the friend zone. If they're talking about going on dates with other people, you're in the friend zone. But in the kingdom, that's a good thing. You want to be friends first. So I just didn't know. I wanted to confess my undying love to her. We weren't even dating. I just wanted to let her know. I wanted to make it public. So I prayed to God. I said, God, if you want me to tell her, have her ask me how I feel about the relationship. So I just put it on. I surrendered. I put it on her. And so it was Easter, and I my mama raised me right, so I got flowers for her mom, and I went to her house for Sunday dinner, and I gave her flowers. You know, I was in. And we were hanging out. We had dinner. We were watching movies. Before you know it, we were the only ones left in the little townhouse just enjoying each other's company. That's it, kid. You're just enjoying each other's company. Just watching TV, enjoying each other's company. And in between one of the movies, she said, I just want to know how you feel about our friendship. I said, Lord, my hands start getting sweaty. You know, it's one thing when you ask God for something, then when he does it, and then you know you got to do your part. My heart starts pounding. I start stuttering, short of breath. I think I'm in love with you. I let it out. The Holy Spirit, I just couldn't hold it in any longer. I had to make it public. I had to make it known. And I explained to her what I appreciated about her. And I can't even remember anything else that I said, but I was just in the moment. And then she looked at me, and she said one word. Ditto. Woo! The sisters know. Who knows what movie that's from? Ghost, yes. The movie Ghost, yes. Ditto. She said, ditto. And I was like, thank you, God. I did not want to get rejected after I said all that. You see, we don't initiate a loving relationship with God. He's been done that. And he's made it public. He has made it known. But all God wants us to initiate is a response. What does that mean? It's a willingness to surrender, to submit to him out of that love for him that we love because he first loved us. You see, God just wants us to say, ditto. Ditto. Isaiah 1:16. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You see, that's his call to us. That's his initiation. Listen, I want to forgive you of your sin. I want to make you white as snow. I want to make you pure. I want to cover you with the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. And then he puts it in our court. He says, now you get to decide. Will you be willing to obey or will you resist and rebel? You see, that's a decision we all have to make when we decide whether or not we want to become disciples of Jesus. If we want to become Christians, if we want to be saved, go to heaven, be in the right relationship with him, we all got to make that choice. He loves us so much that he gives us an opportunity to make that choice. Have you made that choice? Have you made that choice? Have you been willing to submit to him, to surrender your life to him? You see, sometimes it feels like, well, just believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. Like, that should be easy. Just to have faith in God should be easy. But when you understand you got to really surrender and submit, that's hard for anybody. That's hard for everybody. Why? Because then we have to trust him with our lives, our decisions, our relationships, our money. I mean, everything, our future. We have to trust him. So it can be challenging. I want to encourage you, if you have been on this journey with God trying to figure out, man, I want to follow Jesus, but I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if this thing is real. I don't know if I can do this. Pray about it and make a decision to follow God. Because here's the promise. I mean, he's telling you right here, if you're willing and obedient, you're going to be good for eternity. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured. I don't want anybody in here to be devoured. I don't want anybody on YouTube to be devoured. We want to be right with God. Amen? Now, as disciples, we're called to live like that. It's not just one decision. We're called to live with an air of willingness, both in our conviction and our disposition. It's a daily decision, right? And, you know, what I've learned, sometimes we deal with things that are even tougher to give up than when we first became disciples. Sometimes it gets even harder the longer you're in the faith. It's almost like we have to go through this process of conversion again and again. It's almost like Jesus wants us to count the cost again and again. Why? Because sometimes our pride and our selfishness, they come back up. Sometimes we fall into a hole of unconfessed, unrepentant sin. You know, the worst part about it is when we really like it. We sin because we like it, right? I mean, that's really bad when we get in that hole and it's like, man, I don't want to give this up. But today I believe God is asking you, are you willing to give that up again? Sometimes God is calling us to something that feels like too much of a risk. It's just too risky. And we say, God, anything else, but not that. And he goes right towards that thing that we're holding so close to our hearts. And he's asking us today, are you willing to step out on faith again? Or we could be at the place we're just disappointed by life. People disappoint us. God, it sometimes feels like he disappoints us. And so maybe we're at a place where we've pulled our hearts back in an act of self-preservation. It's just too hard. It hurts too much. And God is asking you today, are you willing to love again? To forgive again, to serve again. Are you willing? That's why David prays this prayer in Psalm 51, verse 10, says this, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. I don't want to be alone, David says. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David says, I need a pure heart. I need a pure heart so I can have a steadfast and willing spirit to sustain me. This is what we all need to sustain us. What does it mean to be sustained? It means to be strengthened and supported for an extended period of time. If we're going to finish the race, we need to be sustained by God. And you know what sustains us? A willing spirit. Do we have that willing spirit this morning? This is what holds us up so that we don't fall. So that we don't fall into sin or even worse, fall away from the faith. Now, unfortunately, all through the scriptures, you know, we see examples of people who were not willing. People who just drew a line in the sand and said, you know what, I'll go this far, but no further. I'll love this much, but not anymore. I'll give up these things, but not those. That's the title of my message today. Drawing lines. Drawing lines in the sand and saying we won't go any further. One of the saddest stories is the stories of the rich young ruler, Luke 18, I believe, where Jesus says, I want you to sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and then you can come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He walked away sad. It's a sad story in the scriptures. It's a sad story when we see it in other people as we're trying to help them to follow Jesus. It's even sadder when we look in the mirror and see it ourselves. Man, and you're like, God, I know what you want me to give up. It's like, just not ready today. I've been there. I've looked at myself in the mirror like, God, I just don't know if I can today, God. Maybe tomorrow. Jesus mourns for those of us who are not willing to respond to his love. Matthew 23 and verse 37. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. I've tried to do my part. I've longed for this deep desire over a long period of time just to bring you within me. But you were not willing. You see, the rich young ruler and the people of Jerusalem, they drew a line in the sand. They were not willing to cross. You know what? At one point or another, we're all tempted to do the same. Now, I thought about this saying, drawing lines in the sand. I was like, man, when did that saying even come about? So I did a little research, and historians say it came about during the Battle of the Alamo. The Battle of the Alamo back in 1836, actually right around this time, right around March 5th, 1836. There's a story in Texas history that's attributed to Colonel William Travis. He was the commander of the Alamo Defense Forces. And as the battle was waiting down, they were surrounded by the Mexican armies. And it was the general for the Mexican armies was said, hey, we got you surrounded. We're calling you to surrender. Or if not, we're going to go in and take over and everyone's going to be killed. According to the legend, Colonel Travis called the Alamo defenders together. He brings his team together. He explains to them that defeat is almost certain. And he reads this letter of surrender. And Colonel Travis had already chosen that he would not surrender. And so he pulls his battle sword out and he uses it to draw a line in the ground of the Alamo. And in that moment, he asked for willing volunteers to cross over the line and join him, understanding that their decision would be irreversible. The legend states that all but one of the defenders joined Colonel Travis on his side of the line. And yes, they lost their lives because of it, including Davy Crockett, who was said to be found dead, surrounded with no less than 16 Mexican corpses. You see, sometimes when I read this, I'm like, that's interesting. Sometimes we think we're the ones drawing the line in the sand and saying, I'm not willing to go any further, but I think it's more likely that God has drawn the line in the sand. And he's inviting you to step across it to join his son in death. Yes, he calls us to die to ourselves so that he can take us on an adventure with him. An adventure that will result in getting to know him deeper and therefore building our faith. An adventure that will result in other people getting to know him deeper and building their faith. And an opportunity to really get to know ourselves deeper. To know that we are capable of more than we could even imagine. So I want to make this practical for us. I want to play a little game. This game is called Are You Willing? Everybody say, Are You Willing? Turn to your neighbor and say, Are You Willing? Let's play this little game. I'm going to give you a set of questions. We're going to start very easy, This is anonymous. You don't have to cover your phone, go like this. You don't have to let anybody know. This is anonymous. This is a simple one, an easy one. Are you willing to serve the children? Are you willing to serve Path Kids? Now, before you answer, this is a question you can't say if. You can't say when. It's just, are you willing? Okay? All right? You can't say, but what about, it's just, are you willing? Okay, we're getting real today. We having church today. Are you willing? Okay. All right. About a third say no, and almost 100 say yes. Okay. Next question. Are you willing to forgive that person? The one you just thought about. The one you didn't want to think about. And it's not, are you willing to forgive that person if they say I'm sorry? It's not, are you willing to forgive that person when they apologize? I'm asking you, are you willing to forgive that person if they never apologize? Are you willing? Are you willing? Okay, a little easier for us. We're a forgiving church. That's a good sign. We are a forgiving church. Yeah. We like to forgive more than we like being with the children. I like that. Next question. Are you willing to move for the sake of the gospel? What does that mean? Are you willing to move from your forever home? The place that you finally got to with the good school system. Are you willing to move from that safe neighborhood? Are you willing? Maybe that means downsizing. Look, you want to talk about it, don't you? No other questions. No conditions. It's just a thing that you got to wrestle with yourself. Like, am I willing? Like, can I let go of the lifestyle I have right now for the sake of the gospel? Can I do that? It should hurt a little bit. This should hurt a little bit. This is real. Okay, this is real. Yes, we're closer to that middle still. A little bit more. Say yes. Are you willing? Okay, next one. Are you willing? I can't wait to see this one. Woo! That was quick. That was too quick. Golly, you know what? I ain't willing no more either. You know? Y'all really love me now because you ain't willing. Like, you can do it. Woo. Awesome, yeah. Yeah. I should put my Cash App up there right now. Are you willing to serve the Lord in that capacity as a shepherd, as a pastor? Next question, last question. Are you willing to die for Jesus? Are you willing? Think about it now. Think about it. Are you willing to die for Jesus? Let me tell you. I wrestled with these questions. I wrestled myself. I wrote that down. I'm like, yes, Lord. I'm that unspiritual that I'm struggling with this one. Is it going to hurt? Is it going to be quick? I mean, that's just the stuff that goes through my mind. Like, I know I want to. Ain't that right, Balcony? Y'all feel me up there? The battle is real. But these are the type of questions for me personally I got to consistently ask myself. And they're different questions because God initiates different things within me at different times. And I'm tempted to hold on to things. And I'm tempted to hold on to different sin. I'm at different times of my life. And I got to go back to ask myself, am I still willing? Am I still willing? And if I don't want to do it, I usually start with, but God, you don't understand. But what about so-and-so? Can't they do it? Or I don't know if, I don't think I can handle that. I don't know if I have what it takes. Or sometimes we just make it about people, like we act like it's so-and-so asking us. It's like, what if God has given you an opportunity? I would if you tell me, God, but not if they tell me. They ain't God. But have we even prayed about, is it God? All through the scriptures, he initiates through people. We're not the only ones that struggle with this. Jesus did too. In Luke 22, verse 42, as he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, ready to go to the cross, he is struggling. And he's asking God, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, the cup of suffering, yet not my will, but yours be done. Oof. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus struggled. Jesus, he kept praying, he kept struggling, he kept working through this. And then he tells his followers the same thing, Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ever feel like that? God, I want, I'm willing. I don't have the strength right now. I'm tired. I'm stressed. I'm drained. I'm anxious. I don't have the strength. See, Jesus was able to surrender his will and become willing after a time of extended prayer. And he encouraged his disciples to do the same. Watch and pray. This is what you need if you're going to be able to live out this willing spirit. So I ask us, what if instead of drawing lines, we started drawing circles? Y'all remember that book, Circle Maker? What if we started drawing circles of prayer? Circle Maker is a book by Mark Batterson, praying circles around your biggest dreams and your greatest fears. Because isn't that what it's all about? Man, we're not willing to do something. And are we praying through those fears? Are we praying through those big dreams that God has put on our hearts, those opportunities to be part and partner with him? You know, this book, and this was inspired by a story found in the Jewish history books. In the first century BC, there was a devastating drought that threatened to destroy a whole generation. This was the generation right before Jesus. And the last of the Jewish prophets, they have died. They had died nearly 400 years before this. Miracles were a distant memory. They seemed like a false memory. Like, did these things ever happen? Think about four centuries, right? God was nowhere to be heard from. But there was one man, this sage who lived outside the walls of Jerusalem. He decided he was going to pray anyways. His name was Honi. So Honi believed that even if people could no longer hear God, that God would still hear from them. He would still listen. So one day in the middle of this drought, he took his 6-foot staff in his hand and he began to draw a circle in the sand that surrounded him. Boom. And as he stood in that circle, he began to pray to God. And he said, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand in this circle and pray until we get rain. He said, I swear, his prayer was this, Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children. It said that the words gave the people watching chills. It wasn't just the volume of his voice. It was the authority of his tone. There was not a hint of doubt that this was going to happen. His prayer was resolute, yet humble, confident, yet meek, expectant, yet unassuming. And then it happened as his prayer ascended to the heavens. Raindrops descended to the earth. You can hear the people gasping. They hadn't felt rain in so long. Each raindrop was a tangible token of God's grace. And they didn't just soak up the skin, they soaked the spirit with faith. See, that's a prayer that's said to have saved a generation. And it was deemed one of the most significant prayers in the history of Israel. The circle he drew in the sand became a sacred symbol. And the legend of Honi, the circle maker, stands forever as a testament to the power of a single prayer to change the course of history. You see, Honi was willing. He was willing to stand in that circle and to sacrifice his comfort, his fears, his pride for his people. What if we do the same? Instead of drawing lines in the sand, what if we started drawing circles and committed ourselves to praying until? Praying until. Until we get the clarity and the courage we need to do God's will. Now, just to be real, that prayer may start with, God, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know what you're calling me to. I haven't really heard from you. I don't even know. But it may be also, I know what you want me to do. I just don't know if I can, or I don't know how, or I don't know if I have what it takes, or I don't even know if I'm willing. But God, I want to. If you stay committed to this type of prayer, it may end with God raining down clarity and courage, and maybe even the resources to do what he is calling you to do. Sounds a lot like what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, I'm going to be committed to prayer until I can get my heart where it needs to be so I can go to that cross and save these people so they will know forever that I love them. And I'm down on one knee asking them to be with me for eternity. You know, as we take communion, I want us to just think about the things that God himself is calling us to do or to give up. Maybe it's just who he's calling us to be, right? It's not about, sometimes it's not about doing or giving. It's just about who he wants us to be. What decisions he wants us to make. Maybe he's made that clear in your times with God recently of what you should do or give up or who you should be. Maybe he's made that clear through other people. Maybe there's a need in the church. Think about those things right now, those things that we've been wrestling with. And let's pray the prayer that Jesus prayed. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. As we get ready to pray, let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. If you don't have a communion cup, go ahead and raise your hand so the host team can get that to you. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for calling us beyond our comfort zones. Thank you for inviting us into an adventure where we can experience you in a real way, not in a religious way, not in a traditional way, not in even something that just happens on Sunday mornings, but in our daily walk with you, God. You know our hearts. You know what we're wrestling with. I pray for those who are wrestling with even becoming your disciples. Pray that in this moment, God, you will give them the faith they need to make a decision and to make that decision known. God, that they will start this journey series to get to know you more. They will make the decision to go ahead and get baptized, whatever it may be, Father. They will take their next step today to be in your will. And Father, pray for all of us disciples who've been in the faith, you know, a few weeks or few years or many, many years, God, that you will grant us a willing spirit to sustain us so that we may finish the race. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.